afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation's Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. I am your guest host, Michael Knodel. I'm delighted to be here today. Why? Because I have one of my favorite educators, Professor Brandon Robertson. You know, he's a musician. He does it all. A writer, Grammy nominated. But today, he's going to school us on how to run a successful rehearsal.
That's very important.
It's going to be super fantastic. I think whether you're a new teacher or you've been teaching for 20, 30 years, if you're teaching for 40, it might be time to say, all right. But you can get something from this session because you can always pick up different nuggets. So before we get started, I just want to remind all our viewers today that if you have any questions, just go into the chat feature, type your question, and we're going to leave some time at the very end to answer any questions. I want to remind you also, you can check out future sessions at our website, www.clearwaterjazz.com/education. And we always love to hear back from you. You can email us anytime. Tell us how great Professor Robertson is and all these sessions. Just give us some feedback at info@clearwaterjazz.com. And we want to thank our sponsors over there for the studio archives of all the sessions. We want to thank our friends over there, Blue Water Wealth Management at Stewart Partners and Duke Energy. And don't forget about a Young Lions podcast. And you can find it wherever you stream. And that's brought to you by our friends at Marine Max Clearwater. Just search Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions, and you can pull that up and enjoy all this great knowledge. So where do we begin? Past sessions, guess what? You can go on the archives. You should check out these and plenty more. Create a new composition in charts. That was a great one. How to accompany a vocalist. Oh my goodness, that was an awesome one. He also did the What I Love About series. Paul Chambers, Christian McBride, Sam Jones, you name it. This was a favorite of mine, the 2-7-5-1, 2-5-1 progression, parts one and two. And not, it wouldn't be right if I didn't acknowledge this one. Performing anxiety.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a great one.
So if you like all those sessions, go back to the website, you know, and check out Professor Robertson's knowledge that he's dropped. So without any further ado, the Emmy-nominated music director, professional upright electric bass composer, music educator originally from Tampa, Florida.
813.
Bachelor's of Arts at Florida State University and Master's in Jazz Studies in the spring of 2016. And you know he's down there in Fort Myers right now at the Florida Gulf Coast University, where he's directing Jazz Studies and the basketball band.
Go Eagles.
So you've seen him on plenty of the stages worldwide. Let's just name a few artists and we're going to get right into this thing. I can only say one name and then we can stop. The world famous Count Basie Orchestra led by director Scotty Barnhart, but I won't stop there. What about vocalist Carmen Bradford, Jason Marsalis, Marty Morrell, Marcus Roberts, Wyclef Jean? I mean, the names keep going, but we're going to keep going on. And if that wasn't enough, you need some music because you want to hear the music, you can go out and get his album that debuted number 16 on the iTunes charts, Based on a True Story. Without any further ado, I'm going to stop talking because it's time for the professor to take the stage. It is all yours.
Thank you, Mr. Cornodo, and to the Clearwater Jazz Holiday, as usual, both parties love you guys dearly. And to for those who are joining us today, thank you for tuning in. This is going to be a wonderful session because this is something that I feel transfers over to different sectors of music, aside from being an artist, excuse me, or, you know, performer. Myself, I'm an educator. I've been teaching at Florida Gulf Coast University, the Bauer School of Music, now for the past 5 years, is going on my sixth year now. And one thing that I've learned over time, my very first year to now leaving my fifth year, finishing up my fifth year, excuse me, was that I'm more practical with my rehearsals, with my rehearsal time, and my concerts began to, you know, become more stronger. The presentation, the pageantry that I was presenting, came together exactly how I envisioned it. So, you know, there was nothing of short. There was nothing short of preparation. Everyone came knowing their parts. When we rehearsed, we were there to rehearse. We weren't there to practice. And so I want to talk about that. And I'll probably spend a little bit of time, not so much time, on the rehearsal for directors. You know, I'll probably say that towards the end of my session here. But at the beginning of it, I want to just speak individually to the young musicians who are either, you know, running sectionals in their high school jazz band or in college, leading combos. You know, some schools have combos. I know in college they have actual classes that you can take, that you can register for chamber music, which will be under jazz, which will be labeled as a jazz combo. And so someone in that group would have to lead at times if, let's say, if the instructor wasn't there. Someone would have to lead at times the rehearsal, and have an effective rehearsal makes a difference in when it comes time for you to perform. Because if you know what you're doing, if you feel very confident in how you're going to present it, then there's nothing for you to be fearful of other than your natural nerves and anxiety and anxiousness that would kick in just because, you know, that's how we're built, and it would naturally happen that way. But you would only feel scared or real extremely nervous, I mean, to the T, if you weren't slightly prepared. You can be scared and nervous naturally to where, you know, it's just, you know, this is an excitement. You know, this is something you've never done. So it's just, there's an uncertainty. But having a fear, that's different, because if you didn't take care of business, then you know what's coming, you know. And so leading into this, I want to start with the leader. Okay, so let's say you are someone that's leading a small group, whether it be a trio, it could be a duo, trio, quartet, quintet, sextet, octet, nonet, whatever. You know, you're leading the group, okay? The very first thing you want to do is establish the time and date. Now, when you're dealing with multiple people, it's kind of hard to get everyone's schedule aligned, okay? So here are some things that I've tried. Now I'm going to tell you things that didn't work, and I'll tell you the things that did work. So whichever ones that didn't work, and if it works for you, that's great. The ones that did work for me and it didn't work for you, not so great, but you know, you have options. So number one, if I was dealing with a party of four and up, so let's say quartet, quintet, or sextet, all right? What I would usually do is contact the rhythm section players first. I always like to think about scheduling of the instrumentation. So when you break that down, you know that in demand, by default, a bass player and a drummer and a pianist are going to work a whole lot more than, not saying than the horns, but just in terms of their instrumentation, they're in more demand. Like people would utilize them a lot more because you need a rhythm section. For any band, you can, if you're playing with a band, not necessarily like doing a duo or, you know, some kind of comprised group, you know, alternating group, but outside of the parameters, a standard band would have a rhythm section, a bass, a pianist, or keyboardist, or a drummer. So I always reach out to those players first because I already know most of their schedule is booked. So I say, hey guys, you know, what time and days? All right, we got these days. So if they give me a day that works, if they give me at least 2 days that works for them, if they both say, I can do Monday and Wednesday. And the other say, yeah, I can do Monday and Wednesday. Okay, cool. I got that. So the rhythm section is covered. So then I'll go utilize to the other players and I'll say, hey, are you available on a Monday or a Wednesday? And if they say Monday, all right, cool. Now I say, hold that day. I'll go back to the rhythm section. Then I'll say, hey guys or ladies, what time frames work for you? During the day, during the evening, you remember people work, you know, people got day jobs. Some people might be in school, you know, but if you're leading a group and you're in school for that matter, they might have classes, you know, for instance. So if they say, okay, mid, late afternoon, da da da, and you go back to them, okay, I have this time in the afternoon, I have this time in the afternoon, then that's when you start to do a process of elimination. You just start compressing it, narrowing it down. And the more you narrow that down, then it starts to center to, okay, this time on this date, we're gonna do the rehearsal. Boom. So then you send out the message. When you text or email or however you communicate with the band, the first information, a piece of information that you need to establish with that group text is, guys, ladies, here is the official date for this rehearsal. Because once they see it, you would have already established with everybody in that group and confirmed with them that they were available at this time. So when you're sending out that information, you're trying not to do redundant. You're not trying to be redundant with it. You're not trying to send them multiple messages. You want to give them the information accurate right off the bat. So make sure you do that. That's what I've done in the past. That's worked, okay? What hasn't worked was me just sending out a mass text to everyone first to say, hey guys, get back to me if you're available next week, whatever date and time. I'm gonna tell you right now, you don't get the graveyard shit. You don't get the tumbleweeds passing by. Nothing. You will hear nothing. All right. And now, what are you doing? What I told you just a second ago, what I did not want to do, which I didn't have to do. Send out multiple text messages asking everyone, hey, did you get them? Can you give me a time? Because now you didn't narrow it down. You didn't give them, you didn't go through the process. So that's what I used to do, and that didn't work. So when I realized, wait a minute, I'm a rhythm section player. I'm always getting called and getting booked. That's not boastful. I'm just thinking about scheduling. This is all about scheduling. So I'm like, man, you know, bass players always get called a lot. Drummers get called a lot. Pianists get called a lot. And especially if they're good or great musicians, they're definitely going to be in high demand. So their schedule is going to be very compressed. So I'm going to probably talk to them first before I reach out to everyone else in the band, just so I know, hey, the rhythm section, and if they, and most of the time, In my instance, there's an ultimatum, because it's like, if the rhythm section is available during this time and we know that they're busy, we gotta try to make it work, and that usually works out. So I would always, if you're a horn player, I would always try to start with reaching out to you, or you know, a vocalist, I would try to start reaching out to your rhythm section players first to establish their schedule. And if they all have a day and time that meshes together, you know, and don't message them at the same time. Talk to them individually, because now you're able to utilize. So once they see the message, you would have already established with everyone. At least it would come off that everyone has agreed on this time, because that's what he's sending out and he's leading this band. So that's part of one, making sure your rehearsal is established and is together. Put it on the books, send it as a calendar. If you know iPhones now, you can actually share the event, you can send it to them and they can add it on their calendar. Do whatever you have to do to get that to them, right? That's number one. Number two, once you establish the date and the time, okay, you want to establish the location. Everybody might be in different locations. Sometimes you might be playing gigs where you're inviting other players or musicians that are from out of town or in a nearby region, not necessarily out of town, but just not in the local area per se. So you gotta accommodate and be mindful of their time and travel, because you gotta factor that into the rehearsal time. Because if you're trying to do a 3-hour rehearsal, how far is their travel time that's gonna get them there to equal up to that 3 hours? So if you say, hey, we got a 3-hour rehearsal, you're not specifying to them in what time frame does that rehearsal start, because if you say 3 hours, they can show up within that time frame and then rehearse it and leave. That would be a drag. So if you give them a specific time frame, we're going to rehearse, let's say 3 to 6, Be here by 2:30. That's being very specific to someone who's traveling, because wherever they're from, they have to factor in when do they have to leave from wherever they are to arrive on time. I always do that. I get called to do gigs all the time, and I have to travel. I'm in Fort Myers. I'm in the south part of Florida. So most of the stuff I do is either straight across, which is not far from me, but in instances, I have played in Orlando, sometimes up in Jacksonville, especially in Tampa and Clearwater, St. Pete. So that's travel time for me. And I have to, you know, make sure I'm there on time when the sound check happens. So when, or rehearsal, I've gone up there for rehearsals too. So the same thing, you got to make sure that if you're inviting people from out of town, factor in their time travel. Okay. And if you're going to hire someone, again, this all factors in the rehearsal time. If you're going to hire someone, it makes sense to not hire someone too far out, because then you're having to wait. So if you're on a time crunch yourself, you want to make sure everybody arrives in a timely manner. Okay. So factor that in. Okay. So the location is always important. So once you get the time, date, location established, then here's where it comes down to. Now, I have seen, I can't tell you how many times I've seen my students, my jazz combos, I've seen my students say, we're going to play this song, this song, and this song. They have no clue or direction of how they're going about those tunes and how they're going to rehearse them. They said, oh, we're going to play, we're going to figure it out, professor, let us do our thing. Let us do us. Okay. Now, what ends up happening is, you have a bunch of individuals who have an opinion, and their opinion matters. And so if someone doesn't agree with their opinion, they're going to keep enforcing that opinion. So what ends up happening is you have all this dead time going by in the rehearsal. Next thing you know, you blink. By the time you start playing, you've wasted 20 minutes on trying to figure out who is leading what. So if you're going to establish, once you get all that established, someone has to take charge of the time, keeping track of what you're doing. So if you're the leader, you need to have an agenda of what you're going to rehearse, how long you're going to rehearse, and not do anything else past that allotted space. Nothing past that time. Okay? So once you get that established and you send out your information to your band, you say, here's the rehearsal. We rehearse from 3 to 6. Okay, so from 3 to 3:30, we're going to do a review on all the songs. Okay, we're just going to run them down. We're just going to run them down to see everybody do your homework. Because, you know, you're going to explain to them they have to do their homework, etc. That's part of the gig. But I'm talking about the rehearsal. So you're just giving them a schedule, a time frame of step-by-step what's going to happen. 3 to 3:30, we're going to do a review. 4 o'clock, we're going to review the songs that have, you know, mild issues. And then from 4 to 4:15, we'll review the songs that kind of have, you know, we can get through. They're struggling with now. And then from 4:30 to 6, we're just going to hash out on all the songs that we just bombed on, and we're just going to spend time. So now you're giving them detailed a review of what they're going to do. So now they won't walk into the rehearsal feeling like they're wasting their time, because they know, okay, this is what we're doing. We're going to do this. And if you stick to it, it'll make things very efficient, okay, and very effective of whatever you guys are rehearsing. Also, part of that time, once you give them the schedule, when it comes to the music, if you are a rhythm section player, it is probably best that if you don't know how to transpose, then get with someone that plays that instrument and have them explain to you about transposition in their perspective keys. Now, for instance, like if I had a trumpet player, I would need to give them a B flat chart. Okay, I can't give them a C concert chart because that's not in their transposition. So I need to give them a B flat chart. If I had an alto player, I would need to give them an E flat chart. If I had a tenor player, I would give them a B flat chart. I have to know these transpositions, you know, so that way if I'm leading a band as me being a bass player, if you're a rhythm section player, if you're leading a band, you need to know this. Someone who I can speak on very highly that has an effective way of rehearsals and does that very well is a local drummer from the Clearwater, St. Pete area, Mr. Paul Gavin. Wonderful, incredible, incredible musician and music director. And he leads his rehearsal so effective because when he presents his charts, not only are his charts in the right transpositions, but they're readable. So the next part of that is having a chart, having readily charts to rehearse without having to expect your band to show up, because sometimes they just might forget their music. It just happens. They'll do it. But if you show up and not to put it, you can still put the responsibilities on them to say, hey, if you have charts that you wrote on and you made notes and that easier for you to read, then you bring it, but I'll have music prepared and ready. That just gives another level of that rehearsal, of a seriousness in that rehearsal. Because whenever I show up to rehearsal where someone has prepared music already, you know, taped up and is neatly readable and all the arrangements, it's like, okay, they're here to rehearse. They mean business. Okay, I gotta get with it. But if you just say, hey, here go a set list. Let's just learn some of these tunes. We show up and then we play and see what happens. That's not gonna be very effective, you know? So having an understanding of the music that you're preparing and that you would like to present, how you would like to rehearse it. Do you want to rehearse it in concert order? Or do you want to only rehearse the hardest songs first, leave the easiest for last, do the easiest first to get everybody in a good vibe and then deal with the difficulties so they can leave there like having an understanding like of what they need to work on? There's so many different concepts and ideas that you can do to have this successful rehearsal. Also, once you're in the rehearsal and you're going through it, it's best that you do not spend a lot of time having to talk. And what I mean by that is that I've been in rehearsals where guys, and I've done it myself, and I'm guilty of it, you know, of doing it myself. But where I was sitting in rehearsal that I'm running and I'm trying to explain something that I want, but then I kind of go on a rant and then it just gets dragged out and then it's, you know, it turns into, okay, we didn't do nothing. And so you have to be careful of, if something's not happening, keep going, keep moving. Go back to it at the very end of the rehearsal. So if you're on the time space, let's say if everything was going well as planned and you have like 15 minutes left over, you say, hey guys, real quick, before we leave, let's go back over that one section that we kind of struggled, we kind of had a hiccup on. I just want to do a touch up just to make sure that we are all on the same page so we can go back and work on our parts. But that section was a little shaky. Let's go back through it. That is very effective because now you didn't waste time during rehearsal doing that explanation. You did it afterwards. So please make sure that when you are running a rehearsal, whatever details that needs to be addressed, have a pen and pad next to you and just write it down like, okay, this section right here, come back to it. Boom. And then you keep it moving because it keeps everything fresh. It keeps people on their toes. It makes them step their game up because now they're like, oh man, it's okay, okay, okay. And if you're someone who's not being, kind of like rushing through it, then you'll start to see how your show is going to turn out. So if you might play a song and the order you have it in or how you're doing, like, you know what, man, I might want to do this first. You start figuring out like how you want to put the show together. So having this schedule and following it will really keep things in check. Okay. Really keep things in check. Also, this is a very important detail as well. Everybody needs to come to their rehearsals prepared. And so this is where it transfers into the education world, what I deal with, because I have struggles with my jazz ensembles, for instance, sometimes where I'll have an expectation for them to show up prepared on time to rehearsal. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, on both ends. So I have to figure out how to adjust with that. One thing I've told band directors, and I've done this in master classes when I go on to visit schools, is I tell the students, I say, you know, your band directors, including myself, we do a lot of preparation. You know, we do a lot of score studying. You know, we're reviewing the parts. We're making sure there's no incorrect pitches or any typos, because sometimes editors have typos and then a student might place them. You're like, that sounds wrong. I definitely know that's not supposed to be there. You know, but understanding the chart and doing your homework as the director, which we do, we have an expectation of our students to do their homework of learning their parts. So if that does arise, everybody's on the same page. We know how to address it. But that's sometimes not the case. And so I tell band directors a lot, I say, you know, if you ever run into that problem, you have to just keep things moving. You can't stop, because once you give attention to that student or to that individual or individuals who aren't prepared, what it does is take away, it devalues the other students who have already came prepared to class. And now we are taking away from their experience in the rehearsal, and they're feeling like, man, this is what I'm gonna expect every single time I come here. I had to learn that as a teacher, and I had to learn to now say, okay, you know what, they're not prepared. All right, well, you're gonna get your grade for the day. You know what's going to happen. Please come prepare next time. We keep it moving. Once I started doing that, I noticed a change in my rehearsals, that my students were showing up on time and they were coming prepared. They were actually doing sectionals on their own. The whole band, they were rhythm section, sectional, brass sectionals, woodwind sectionals. And they would just show up and they're like, we're just rehearsing. And they would literally, we just rehearse. And it got to that, but we had to create that culture. So when you're rehearsing, for directors, and if you're leading a group, you want to create a culture, a standard that whoever works with you, they understand that principle, that we're there to work. So you knowing all the parts in each and every individual in the band, especially if it's your original music or if it's arrangements that you've written out, like, you need to know those parts very well. So if you're rehearsing, you're not wasting time trying to say, what is that? What is it? Like, you know, like, oh, okay, I know that, I'll fix it. Or, no, that's not it. This is how it's, boom, boom. That's, you're playing it wrong. And, you know, you're able to just nip it and correct it right there on the spot. Okay. The more time you put into having to explain, the less you're retaining. Okay. I'm gonna say that again. So the more time you having to explain things, the less you're retaining in that rehearsal, because now you're just expunging out a lot of information that's not being reciprocated. And so once that happens in a rehearsal, you show up at the gig and you have no clue what's going on sometimes. You ever been in a situation like that where you're like, I don't think these cats really know or remember what happened, because that rehearsal wasn't really effective enough to leave something grounded for you to know what to work on. And so, again, not wasting time on just lack of preparation. It is expected, so everyone needs to be prepared, but you can't waste time on it, okay? Lastly, the one thing that I think everyone falls victim of in how to run a successful rehearsal, and what I experienced recently, I did a Nina Simone showcase right there at the Palladium College Theater in St. Pete. And the rehearsal was, man, the show was remarkable, you know. And I believe it was because the way we prepared, or we came prepared to the rehearsal. Every single musician at that rehearsal knew their parts very well, to the point where we ran through all the songs one time, and literally the rest of rehearsal was just polishing. It wasn't even, oh, we got to fix this, or we need to run this over a lot, or we need to, it was none of that. It was just, let's do this here. Let's tweak this here. Oh, I don't like that. Let's take that out. Oh, it was polishing. We were polishing the show. That was an experience I haven't had in a very long time, everyone. But that was because the way Paul Gavin that I mentioned earlier, the way he was the music director of the show, and the way he was running the rehearsals, he came prepared. He knew the music very, very well. The bass parts, the piano parts, the drum part, the percussion part that we had a percussionist. He had a trumpet. He knew the trumpet part. He knew the vocalist. He knew every single part, everybody's part well, very well. He also had taped, beautiful, readily available, you know, easy to read charts that there was no, the only discrepancies were just things that we just had to alter a little bit. And it was, I mean, it was to, like, we were praising him for him being a drummer, and there's nothing against drummers that can't do that. I'm not saying that at all. So please don't put me on record saying that I'm discrediting drummers that don't know how to arrange or nothing. It just was remarkable that how he was leading this rehearsal. I was just like, wow, this is so impressive that you're just like, you just know it. You know, that taught me a whole nother level of musicianship that you got to have for yourself and professionalism that you got to have with others. And he really displayed that. And even when we ran through the parts, at the end, he complimented everyone for coming prepared. And then he goes, all right, so now the real test is the show. We do the show. Everybody, we're going to have a great show, wonderful show. Thank you, guys. I need you guys here at this time for sound check. He already had the next preparation prepared with the information. So when you work with someone like that, you not only have a higher level of respect for them, but you start to understand how it really works and how you get called back. Because when you come prepared and you go to a rehearsal and you follow those guidelines that I talked about, that would really put you in another stratosphere. So the last thing is taking care of your band, you know, making sure that you have all the information for them to do their jobs properly. Do not have them come to a rehearsal unprepared because you didn't have the information readily available for them to prepare for that rehearsal. So make sure you do your homework on your end before you start giving out information. That's why it starts with the scheduling. If you have the scheduling down structure, everybody already knows that they're going to walk into something like, okay, we got it. We know what we're doing. This is blah, blah, blah. He already sent us the charts. We're going to have charts. It's like they know so much of it. You're giving them no excuse to not come prepared. So if you don't do your homework, to some extent, it's not their fault. I'm not saying that it's not all, because they're still musicians, individuals, and they got to be responsible for themselves. We all know that. However, though, you're someone who is presenting, leading a group. That's how you have to do some of that legwork. Because when you're rehearsing, you don't have the time to waste trying to teach them something. That's why it's called a rehearsal. It's not called a practice time. It's called a rehearsal. So when you come to rehearse, you're rehearsing. So on that note, I think that's what I have for you all for today.
My goodness. You know, I am so happy someone invented the recording and the reverse button, because there was so much that one needs to go back and listen to over and over again. I mean, that was amazing. The one thing I took from that, and I see it all the time, being organized, time management. And one thing you did say about not going in and doing a lot of talking. And I've been with directors where they want to tell glory day stories and when they did this and when they did that. And I've actually seen students say, hey, and they raise a hand like they're going to ask a question. They say, can we play? And that's what we all come to do, I think, at a rehearsal. We want to play. Now, I mean, of course, I think they need breaks sometimes, but mm-hmm. to say, hey, we're here for 2 hours. We're going to warm up here. We're going to hit this song, this song, this song. And it's organized and it's run like a well-ran machine. I mean, that's golden. And yeah. Another thing you mentioned, taking care of your musicians. I mean, that's huge as well. I know you didn't talk about this much, but I wanted to add something about taking care of your musicians. Mm-hmm. If it is a paid gig or a paid rehearsal or whatever, that needs to be taken care of beforehand, and that musician needs to be taken care of without them having to chase down that person. Would you agree? The business portion, that business portion should be well organized, just like the rehearsal. It's a total package. So if that musician is putting in, I'm being on time, I know my music, I'm wearing what you require, should they be taken care of on that side too as well?
Man, I can't tell you how many times I deal with that. So most of the time, I've gotten to a point where because people know me now, like that have worked with me, I respectfully tell them like I will include a rehearsal fee in my pay. They say, "Hey, how much you want, for the gig to get you up here?" And then I tell them the amount. They'll say, "Oh, that's kind of high." I was like, "Well, I'm adding that extra fee from me having to go up for this rehearsal because that's especially if I got to leave and come back in the same day. I'm in Fort Myers in Tampa. That's at least 2 hours, two and a half hours from where I'm at. So, that's a 4 or 5 hour round trip. You know what I'm saying? And so I always, most of the time, people respectfully that understand the business side of it, and especially the musicians, they if they want to hire quality musicians, they have to do that because those musicians are going to expect that. But what ends up happening is you get, folks that don't know that or can't afford that because they're coming up, and that's rightfully so and respectful. But that's why I said mentioned about the region, like don't I know you want to work with your friend that lives 2 hours away, but you can't afford to pay him to come up. If you're trying to get them to come up to rehearse, you can only pay him for the gig or her for the gig. So it makes more sense to use someone closer that's maybe like an hour away or maybe 45 minutes away, where the drive isn't that bad because it's closer, you know what I'm saying, versus someone who got to get on the interstate or, you know what I'm saying, do some mileage. So I totally agree with that. Yeah, you taking care of the musicians, the pre-deposit, so I've done gigs where cats will send me a deposit, they'll be like, "Hey man, this is the deposit they sent me, so just letting you know that's for you, and you'll get the rest at the gig." I'm like, "All right, cool." I've been on gigs where, and this is rare, I mean, really rare, where I showed up and they had a check right there. Oh, I put my stand down. "Here you go, Brandon. What this is?"
Yeah,
"This is actually, yeah, no, that's just for real.
that's
That's
what.
the gig." But you know what I'm saying? Like that's, but yeah, like it's. I'm gonna say this piece of advice too. If you want to work with really great musicians, like high caliber musicians, like the upper echelons of the music, the music world, like you have to you pay for what you get. We tell that's what we tell venues that. That's what, the same thing we tell venues. You if like, if I'm a band, I'm a quartet, I wanna stack for 3 hours. I ain't paying your band no stack. I'm like, "Yeah, but I got the best cats right here. You want me, we ain't gonna play no 2, 3 hours straight, but I got the best cats in the city right now. Well, I got a group over here that'll do it for 100. Same 4-piece, and they said they'll do it for 100. All right, take them then. You pay for what you get. You're gonna
That's
get a lot of complaints. You're gonna get a lot of people arguing with you. You're gonna say, "What is this crap? This sounds terrible. These guys aren't prepared. They're not professional." Da, da, da. It's a whole bunch of lists. The list goes on and on. But you pay that 250 a man, then what you're getting is high quality professionals show up on time. They look good. They know how to talk to the crowd. They doing everything that you don't even have to explain to them because they know what they're doing. Why? That's why they're called professionals. So you pay for what you get. I'm learning that now as long as I've been a professional musician now for, let's see, so I started when I was 20. So yeah, 15 years now, a professional musician. And I've reached that point in the last 5 years.
I will say this, even to my high school band directors, if you do want high quality clinicians to come in, professionals, recording artists, you just have to take care of them because believe it or not, that circle is very small. But you do take care of those clinicians, they fly in, they work your band, have a great concert, they'll want to come back. And a lot of times they'll tell other people, like, hey, that school down there in Florida, you want to go there. They're going to take care of you. Kids are swinging. It's going to be a great experience. And before you know it, you'll look up and you'll say, I've had this person in my band room. I've had this person in my band room. Oh, yeah, that person came too. And it's an amazing experience. So I just wanted to add that, especially to my band director colleagues, with the jazz world. and just musicians in general, they love working with up and coming musicians. They love it. They don't want to have to deal with the extra stuff that come with it if it's unnecessary. So everybody do your due diligence, take care of your people, and it's going to be amazing. Professor, this is amazing.
Thank you. I hope I drop some jewels.
I'm looking forward to the next one. When that next one's going to be, I'm pretty sure it'll be soon. But guess what? With all the ones you've done, they can always go back. You know.
Oh, I'm doing my What I Love About series for with Charlie Hayden.
Well, you know what? We will be here. And you know where that can be found? And past sessions and upcoming sessions, they can find it at www.clearwaterjazz.ed/education. And if they have any recommendations, they want to give us feedback, they can email us at info@clearwaterjazz.com. This has been an awesome session with the professor, Brandon Robertson. Check him out. He's out there playing in the community. You will not be disappointed with his expertise and his showmanship.
Oh, I will actually be doing a show next Friday, actually in the Clearwater area for the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Wanderlust Concert Series. I'll be performing with vocalist Sanaya Carroll, featuring a wonderful trio that I put together that I'll be leading, Mr. John O'Leary, one third of La Lucha, the pianist.
Oh, yeah.
And then Mr. Paul Gavin on drums.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
This will be. Event? Yes, and I believe one of the youth orchestras is presenting. Deb jumped in, so she might can help me on that one. we have an opening act, and then we'll be doing a half hour show. So please, everyone, if you're interested, you can go to clearwaterjazz.com. Get all the information. They have a tablet on there that you can click for the Wanderlust series and get all that information. If you scroll down, you'll see that there's a link for the ticket. I believe there might be some tickets still on sale, hopefully. But if not, yeah, that would be great. But if so, please come out. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show. Sanaya and I have a great, great preparation for you. A great concert prepared for you.
So we get to see the product of a great rehearsal, everybody. So come out and support that one little series. I've been to plenty of them. They are amazing. So
awesome.
Thank you so much for your time today, Professor. And we're going to look forward to the next one. I'm your guest host, Michael Kernodle. And everybody.
Keep
singing until next time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
See you later, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Clearwater Jazz Holidays Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. Thank you to our friends at Marine Max Clearwater for helping to present this podcast series. To learn more about the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Annual Festival tradition, other special events throughout the year, and our year-round education and outreach, please visit clearwaterjazz.com.